v. Williams. Mr. LaPuma.
May it please the court. Kevin Williams, charged with one crime, a drug conspiracy, was sentenced on another, conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute crack cocaine, without charge, without proof beyond a reasonable doubt, and without a jury verdict. This process is incompatible with the Fifth and Sixth Amendment.
But haven't we been through all this with Jackson? I don't understand. What's the difference?
Judge, the difference is today we are armed with Apprendi, Blakely, Booker from the Supreme Court, as well as this court's opinions in Macedo, Mietis, and Martin. It's all cited in our brief.
But, you know, my question is, points to you and to Mr. Williams for raising this Sixth Amendment issue from the get-go. I know that there wasn't a lot of company, because a lot of people did forfeit this. You didn't forfeit it. But on the other hand, as you correctly noted in your supplemental authority, the Supreme Court has now established in Requenco that we're in a harmless error world. And when you look at the record as a whole, and particularly take into account that the only question then is whether beyond a reasonable doubt, it was reasonably foreseeable to Mr. Williams that his co-conspirators were engaging in cocaine and these various other transactions. How can we say this isn't harmless error?
Judge, that's a very good question and a very difficult one for me to answer. Certainly we weren't pleased with the disposition of Requenco in the Supreme Court, determining that it didn't constitute structural error. If this court determines to view this case through harmless error, we're cooked.
Well, don't we have to in a way? I mean, we could go with you all the way down the road. We could say this was a mistake, you preserved the error, you know, and so on. But then, at the end of the day, we have to look at harmless error, don't we?
I don't think so, Judge. I don't think harmless error is applicable in this instance for this very specific reason. This case has a very unique procedural posture. Very beneficial to Mr. Williams, by the way, one that's not very popular with the government and other people as well. Here is the distinction. This court in 2005 entered a remand order when the government confessed error on the second appeal. It was a full remand order, and it was based on the government's request for relief that the judgment should be vacated and the matter should be remanded for resentencing. And that's the language that was used in the remand order, and we know the scope of a remand is determined by the language of the remand order. When we went back before Judge Bucklow, we had the authorities I've just cited from the Supreme Court as well as from the Seventh Circuit, and we urged Judge Bucklow to consider this issue because the law of the case doctrine did not apply. And we know that the court determined, and of course Jackson 1 was vacated by Nance, but the issues were adjudicated, but they may be relitigated. There's case law that supports that, which is in our lead brief.
But again, my point is, suppose at the end of the day we agreed with you that Judge Bucklow was excluding things from her consideration, the remand, we agreed that there are mistakes all over the place, but don't we still have to go and ask, do they matter on the basis of this record?
I don't believe so, Judge. What we had when we went back in front of Judge Bucklow in 2005 was a clean slate. And it was a clean slate because we had controlling authorities entered
clean
by the
Supreme Court. So far as the evidence about the gang, right, of which he was a regent, which was a high official, all that is solid, isn't it?
Judge, as I said, the evidence is solid, and if you determine to view this along harmless error, we're not in very good shape. But, Judge,
I don't understand how anything you've said, which I didn't really understand anyway, but how does it bear on harmless error? I don't get that.
How is it what, Judge?
How does what you were saying about this unique procedural posture affect the issue of harmless error?
Judge, harmless error, the point is, we were back at stage one in front of Judge Bucklow.
Back in the creation of the earth, but you'd still have a harmless error doctrine, right?
Judge, I don't believe so because it...
I don't understand. A harmless error always applies, right? So why would the procedural posture make a difference?
The procedural posture makes a difference, Judge, for this reason. Say we're back in Judge Bucklow in front of another case that this court hasn't considered. And we are arguing that the jury wasn't allowed to make specific findings on drug type or drug amount. And we know in the district courts and the trial courts below, that is something that's done every day now.
No, but if it's a harmless error, because we know what this gang was dealing, and we know that he was a regent, so we know he had responsibility, you know, for hundreds of people or dozens of people selling all this stuff, then why wouldn't that be the end for you?
Well, Judge, I don't think it's the end for us based on the court's own opinions in Martin and Mietis, for instance, and Macedo, where those types of issues were presented to this court, and the court said, based on Apprendi, based on Blakely and based on Booker,
yes, but
those are,
all of those are subject to harmless error analysis.
But Judge, no. Let's imagine that we are not dealing with this case with a 6 years or 8 years historical perspective, but if this case was fresh before the court would rule that harmless error is inapplicable. It wouldn't consider it because Apprendi controls, because Blakely controls, and because Booker controls.
Are you saying Requento is not retroactive? Is that what you're trying to argue?
I'm sorry, Judge?
Are you arguing Requento is not retroactive? Is that what you're trying to argue?
No, Judge.
I ask if maybe you're arguing something? I'm just not clear either. But are you saying that we don't know what the district court's starting point would have been for the sentence had she, in fact, when the remand happened, done a proper evaluation? Maybe it would have been 320 months, or maybe it would have been 280, or whatever. I'm not sure. I mean, we certainly have had plenty of remands where we say if you don't do the sentencing guidelines, you don't take the evidence into account, then we don't really know what the district court's sentence would have been. Now, she certainly tells us on the remand what she wants. She still wants the same sentence. Judge Bucklow. But unless you're making that kind of argument, then I don't see how you can avoid harmless error.
Judge Bucklow wanted us to focus on 3553 and wanted nothing to do with our statutory cap argument or our authorities that we presented to her.
Okay.
That's the reason. She adopted wholesale Judge Maravich's findings in 1998 without considering them separately. I'm not going to stand before this court and say that the evidence, the trial evidence, wouldn't support those particular numbers under the sentencing guidelines, because they surely would. Our argument is the statutory cap, and just to return to your question, Judge Posner, about Requento, the Supreme Court has other cases pending in front of it. This is not a fully developed issue at this point. I would point out Burton versus Waddington, Cunningham versus California, and U.S. versus Resendez-Ponce, two of which were argued weeks ago, and one is going to be argued next week, which determine whether Blakely is going to be retroactive, which is going to expand upon Booker. And our point on this whole matter, Judge, is that because the government didn't charge it, because the jury didn't find it, Apprendi mandates, Blakely mandates, that Kevin be sentenced under 841B1D, which is for a marijuana penalty, with the lowest possible penalty, because we do not know the jury's findings.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. LaPone.
Thank you.
Mr. Fullerton?
May it please the court. An Apprendi error did take place in this case in 1997 when it was tried. We know that error can be considered under a harmless error analysis, and we know from the trial record and the record at sentencing that indeed that error was harmless. The evidence was overwhelming that Mr. Williams and his co-defendants in this case were involved with far more cocaine and crack cocaine than was necessary to find a statutorily authorized sentence in excess of 30 years. Judge Maravich found that, and there's really no question that had the jury in this case been properly instructed, it would have found the amount of crack cocaine or cocaine necessary to authorize the sentence that Mr. Williams ended up receiving. Requenco should spell the end of Mr. Williams' efforts to have that Apprendi error treated as creating a statutory cap on his sentence, and we submit that it does so. And in fact, this court in 2000, when it considered the first Jackson case, when it was up on appeal for the first time, reviewed the case and found that the failure to submit this question to the jury was in fact harmless.
But when we were evaluating that under a completely different legal framework, I mean, surely the government is not going to stand here and say that the post Blakely and Booker things were all just about the same as they were back then.
There's been a lot of water under the bridge here. Obviously, there's been a huge change in the law since then.
And so it seems to me that what we might have thought under a completely different legal regime was harmless was a somewhat separate issue from the one that the Supreme Court itself took time to address in Recuenco. So I don't think there's any law of the case aspect here. The record, though, is the record. I mean, what Mr. Williams was doing, I don't take that anybody really.
And it was this court's. It was this court's recognition of the strength of the evidence, the overwhelming quality of the evidence as to the drug quantity and type.
Don't you think Judge Bucklow needed to take a look at that on the remand, and we now need to take a look at it to see if that's if we're still convinced under the new regime that this Apprendi / Booker error. And you have to give Mr. Williams credit for continually preserving this when you think of the number of people who did not.
It's been a long road, and he has been
He's been diligent beyond all description in keeping this issue alive.
Now Judge Bucklow, on the third sentencing for Mr. Williams, did have before her, we provided to her, all the materials that had come out of the initial sentencing, the government's version, the pre-sentence report, the transcript of the sentencing hearing. She had all those materials that Judge Maravich had as well, and she adopted those findings and sentenced Mr. Williams this most recent time under the regime of advisory guidelines. So we think that he has received the benefit of the intervening change in law, except for the
Apprendi
change.
Well, she did it making the same Apprendi error, though. I mean, had she recognized that he had preserved this Sixth Amendment point, don't you think she would have had to order some, you know, a new trial, basically?
Well, if that was error on her part, that can be reviewed for harmless error as well and ought to be under Recuenco.
Right, and I'm just saying, had she not, would you agree that when she had the resentencing post-Booker, there was no jury finding as to type of drug and quantity of drug?
There was no jury finding.
There was no jury finding. She had no power at that point, or she had no authority, I'll say, at that point, simply to say, well, I'll just make the finding myself. That's not what you encourage district judges to do today. If you had some prosecution in your office and somehow or another you failed to ask the jury about type and quantity, that would be something that would be redressable.
We asked her to adopt Judge Maravich's findings.
Right, but why didn't you recognize that there was a problem with no jury finding on type and quantity? Judge Maravich isn't the jury.
No.
Nor is she. I don't disagree with you that Recuenco is there and there may be harmless error, but I'm trying to figure out, what do you do now? And if you forget to ask the jury if there's what the type and quantity is, you just say, oh, well, just why don't you find it yourself, Judge? Will argue Recuenco? I mean, what do you do?
Well, I haven't been in that situation. It's now our routine practice to ask the jury to make the findings, and I haven't been in the situation where we've invited
error.
Yeah, but
there's slippages that occur sometimes. What would you do? You can't just tell the judge, oh, never mind, you know, the Supreme Court wasn't serious.
Right. I don't think I would be doing that. That's right.
I hope not.
Well,
so that's sort of Mr. Williams' position by the time it goes back to Judge Bucklow in the final analysis. She just ignores everything that had gone on in between, adopts Judge Maravich's findings, and resentences.
Well, she was under the view that she had a limited authority on remand just to implement the advisory guidelines based on the initial
But presumably
chances.
What she sort of should have said was that no reasonable jury could have found anything less than Judge Maravich had found, right?
Right.
Right.
That would dissolve the problem. Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Fullerton.
Thank you.
Mr. LaPuma, how much time does he have? 2 minutes? Yeah. Anything further?
I
Just briefly, I know we're getting hung up on the issue about harmless error here, and I would just look at Blakely's language. I mean, the Supreme Court in Recuenco looked at Blakely and identified that the term statutory maximum, it clarified what that term meant. The term means that those elements that are, for our purposes, drug type and drug amount must be found by a jury. The Sixth Amendment.
There's a harmless error exception to that, right?
Judge, I would look at Justice Scalia's comments then in Blakely, where he comments that the Sixth Amendment is the only amendment that is mentioned both in the body of the Constitution and in the Bill of Rights. And Judge, I think that's a very significant jury trial rights supersede.
The Supreme Court has said you can have harmless error no matter how many times it appears in the Constitution. So I don't know what you're arguing with us about.
Judge, I just don't think
the Supreme Court.
Recuenco is against us, Judge, but there's other cases pending in the Supreme Court.
We'll wait till they're decided. Okay, and thank you, Mr. And you were appointed, were you not?
Yes.
So we thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of your client.